Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does the Mormon Church manipulate its members? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article. The online version of this article is titled, "The Gaslighting Within Mormonism Must Stop." And as we explained yesterday, gaslighting is a term that really goes back to the 1944 movie with Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. And it's the use of psychological manipulation. And of course, the movie that I'm referring to, Gaslight, was where the husband was trying to make his wife seem like she was crazy by turning the gas lights or the gas lamps in the house up and down and then denying that it ever happened, forcing her to think that she was perhaps going out of her mind. Well, two men who are co-founders of the Truth and Transparency Foundation, which operates MormonLeaks.io and FaithLeaks.org, wrote this article, and they are accusing the Mormon Church of using similar tactics when it comes to the membership of the Mormon Church. They are, in fact, using what they call psychological manipulation. I think what they're meaning by this is they are trying to keep their membership believing, and as Dieter F. Uchtdorf said, doubt your doubts instead of doubting your faith. They're trying to get them to go doubting their doubts and lead them away from doubting the faith, which of course, from our perspective, is what's causing those doubts in the first place. But yesterday we read a statement by M. Russell Ballard, who is cited in this online version of the article, when on November 19th, the Mormon Church conducted what is called a face-to-face event with a group of single adults, and it was broadcast worldwide. One of the questions that was asked of these two Mormon apostles had to do with members and friends who were struggling with their faith due to doubt and questions of church history. And Ballard answered basically with this. He said, just trust us wherever you are in the world and you share this message with anyone else that raises the question about the church not being transparent. We're as transparent as we know how to be in telling the truth.
Bill, what does the Bible have to say about that? Doesn't it say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that we are to try the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says that we are to test everything. And yet, Mr. Ballard says, just trust us when the information and the facts go contrary to what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what has always bothered us as missionaries to the Mormon people. When we talk to Latter-day Saints and they say things like, well, it doesn't matter what you present, I'm still going to believe it. Now, most Mormons look at that kind of a statement with pride and loyalty to the Mormon system. I would tend to look at that as not something to be proud about, because it tends to show that you don't care about facts. And as Christians, we care about facts. Truth is a major portion of our belief system. The word true and truth are found over and over again in the New Testament.
And you need to go where the evidence leads you. And certainly, we see in the New Testament that they made arguments all the time about the facts, such as the resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, don't just take my word for it. Go and ask the 500 plus who saw Jesus. And we want to do that because, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are many wolves dressing up in sheep's clothing. And we don't do that in any other aspect of our lives. When somebody comes and says, hey, I got this great investment for you, it's making 10% a month, we're going to ask for the background to that. We want to see where that money's being invested, or we will easily be put into a Ponzi scheme and we lose everything we have.
In other words, we want to see the prospectus.
Yes.
Well, in this quotation that is cited in this article, M. Russell Ballard also cited Dr. James B. Allen of Brigham Young University, who in 1970 wrote an article about the different versions of the first vision. And this was a big issue in this article. Ballard was trying to give the impression that, hey, something was written about this back in 1970, and so we're not hiding anything. And that's the accusation that's often made, that the Mormon Church is hiding information. The authors of this article said, wait a minute. You can't go back 47 years and cite something from a magazine, and that was the Improvement Era, which isn't even published any longer. It's now become the Ensign, but how many people know that?
And it's not even available on LDS.org.
Yeah, and you would think that would be one of the first places that a member would probably go to look would be LDS.org, and you're not going to find it. As far as we know, you can't find that article on there. But now the Mormon Church has changed in recent years. They have come clean on a lot of these issues. But the argument that's being made by these authors is the fact that you still see this gaslighting going on. Well, after those two quotations were made by M. Russell Ballard, the author said, this quote shows the narcissistic gaslighting tactics routinely employed by the leaders of the Mormon Church. And then they go on to make this statement.
After citing their credentials, asserting their dominance, and shaming the audience for questioning a bold claim that rejects the skeptical mindset is made, the audience is subsequently directed to simply, quote-unquote, trust those in authority. Such rhetoric is invalidating, discourages exploration and free thought, completely lacks even a shred of empathy, and is thus abusive to active, struggling, and former Mormons alike.
Let me just stop you there, because how many times have we experienced when talking with someone who is struggling with their Mormon faith, and they tell us how they've gone to their bishop and asked these questions that have been raised after studying certain aspects of Mormon history or doctrine, and the bishop will say, stop reading that, or stop asking those questions, or whoever's telling you that, quit talking to them. How many times have I heard Mormons tell me that when they brought up some of these questions to the bishop, the first thing that they're asked is, where did you get that?
Right.
As if all this information has nothing but a bunch of made-up lies found only on what they would call, quote-unquote, anti-Mormon websites.
That's what we call poisoning the well.
Poisoning the well. And we have heard many Latter-day Saints who have written us and accused us of doing just that. My response to that is this. Most of what you will find on our website, mrm.org, you will see readily that our statements from Mormon sources. We have found that one of the best ways to carry on a convincing conversation with a Latter-day Saint is to show them primary sources. We go to their own material and let their material speak for itself. If they think we're taking something out of context, well, by showing them the primary source, they can tell us what the context is if they think we've taken it out of context. Now, it would do us no good, it would do them no good, to be constantly taking things out of context. Our credibility would be ruined in no time, and it certainly wouldn't help them if our motivation is based on what is truth. Because when you take things out of context, you're not really finding the truth. Taking it out of context will lead you in a different direction. The authors go on in this article to say, setting aside the reference to an obscure and hard-to-find 1970 article in an attempt to claim the church never hid the existence of multiple First Vision accounts, this is a textbook example of wanting to have your cake and eat it too. I think they have a point here, because as we mentioned earlier, how is a Mormon going to know where to look for a question such as that? Nowadays on the internet, it certainly makes it easier. But what would a member have had to do back in 1970 if someone had read this article by Allen, this Mormon historian that Ballard was citing, and did not have access to the hard copy? How would they know? Where would they go? They don't have an internet back there. The internet doesn't come out till the mid-1990s and later it starts getting really popular. But before then, you had to do it the old-fashioned way. Check it out, read it for yourself in hard copy.
And they go on and they said, apparently, in the minds of God's handpicked elite, fleeting references to issues that would cause an otherwise believing Mormon to put their eternal salvation in peril constitutes being open and honest about church history. And it goes on and says, let us stipulate for the sake of this discussion that each and every issue in church history that has led a person to abandon their faith in Mormonism has been, at some point, written about in a church publication. Despite this, most ex-Mormons found themselves denying the truthfulness of these issues until they inevitably read it in an obscure publication which they considered to be, quote-unquote, approved material.
I think they make a very good point there. Most ex-Mormons found themselves denying the truthfulness of these things, of these issues. That's absolutely true. You and I have experienced this over and over. I'll never forget one time discussing the issue about Jesus with a Mormon, and I happened to bring up that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. He did not know this. He thought I was making it up. That's usually the first direction that many Mormons go. They think you're making it up. Rarely do you find a Mormon stop and say, oh, where did you hear that? I've never read that before. Could you please show me the reference? It's usually a flat-out denial. Have
right.
you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
And I think what they're saying here is absolutely correct, because many Mormons will deny the truthfulness of an issue until they read it for themselves. And this is why, when I mentioned earlier that if you use the historical method of arguing or conversing with a Latter-day Saint, it's helpful to have the information in hand at the time.
They go on to write, the fact that the research department at the church office building can feed Russell Ballard with a 50-year-old reference does not negate the fact that the Mormon Church has manipulated the facts surrounding its own history since its inception.
Yeah, I think they, again, they are making a good point. It did seem odd to me when they cited that statement from M. Russell Ballard, that it was a 50-year-old reference. They couldn't come up with something a little bit more recent, at least in a publication that's still in print. They had to go clear back to 1970 to come up with an example. You would think that alone, if I was in the group that was questioning Dallin Oaks and M. Russell Ballard at the time, that alone, if I was questioning, would have raised flags for me. Why is it, Apostle Ballard, you have to go back 47 years specifically to come up with a reference that supports your premise? You couldn't come up with something more recent. And of course, they wouldn't come up with the Gospel Topics essays, because we all know that those essays were supposed to put an end to this kind of questioning. So that would be a little bit difficult to use that as an example, because they're trying to show in this case that the church has always been open. That just isn't the case. It has not been as open as church leaders would like you to believe.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.